Let's take a listen to President Biden addressing the nation yesterday on the Omicron COVID-19 surge.
And I want to start by acknowledging how tired, worried, and frustrated I know you are. I know how you're feeling. For many of you, this will be the first or even the second Christmas where you look across the table, be an empty kitchen chair there.
President Biden also had some positive messages about what life looks like for people who are vaccinated and boosted. While info is still coming out about the Omicron variant, it looks like it's definitely more infectious, it seems, than previous variants. We're talking about what we know about Omicron and how to keep yourself and others safe. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about Omicron and safety? Do you have questions about masks, vaccinations, boosters, and tests? Have you changed holiday plans, travel plans, or are you sticking with it, maybe with some extra precautions? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Simonek is an associate professor of epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee and a founding member of the COVID information website, Dear Pandemic. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Let's start out with the practical level of stuff. And I imagine Dear Pandemic's getting lots of questions along these lines. What are you telling people about travel and get-together safety over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we certainly are. You know, when you asked me to be on the show, I was thinking about how I was on last year, this time actually on 1223, and to talk about the same thing, holiday safety. So at first I was feeling a little down, like, oh, there's still the need to talk about this. But I think, you know, the thing that we can keep in mind is that even, you know, with the Omicron variant circulating, is that we have so many more tools this year to reduce risk at gatherings than we did last year. You know, last year we were talking about quarantining for 2 weeks before you gathered, you know, wearing masks, improving ventilation, and those are still things we can use, you know, but this year we have vaccines, we have boosters, and we have, you know, other tools like rapid tests that really can add those layers of protection for gathering. You know, I think if you're planning to get together with other family members that are fully vaccinated and boosted, that's an amazingly great start to a safer gathering. You know, if you can add another layer of just rapid testing. So I know that, you know, people may have trouble finding these right now, or maybe you've stockpiled them like I did leading up into the holidays. But if everyone at the gathering adds a rapid test beforehand, you take it, swab your nose, you know, and wait 15 minutes. And if everyone's negative on that rapid test, that really provides another assurance that no one's sort of asymptomatic, but still, you know, starting to be infectious at the gathering. You know, and if you are, you know, facing the possibility of getting together with families where either they have young kids who aren't yet vaccinated, family members that are immune compromised, or are at risk of severe complications from COVID if they were to get it, I think that's where it becomes even more important to add on those layers in addition of protection. So, you know, we have to think about our risk in these settings on a spectrum, and that our overall goal is to reduce the risk of transmission to our family members. And I think, you know, it's important that we do stay vigilant in trying to do that, because, you know, 2 days ago, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services declared a public health advisory related to the Omicron variant. It's a variant that's highly transmissible, and with, you know, only less than 60% of Wisconsinites being fully vaccinated right now, that's a large proportion of people that are still vulnerable to COVID. And, you know, I think it gives us reason, you know, given the state of our hospital capacity being currently stretched in many areas across the state, to do those steps, to take those steps to make a safe gathering.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. Though some people have seen the Omicron variant started in South Africa, it's also popped up in very quickly in other places. So I've also heard variants aren't necessarily identical. So a variant can be like a type of a virus. So I just wonder, well, could some various forms of Omicron variant have popped up in different parts of the world, even if there would have been total travel bans?
Dennis, thanks for the call. Still questions, I think, about where Omicron came from, how it started. Dennis wondering if it might have simultaneously sprung up in different parts of the world.
Yeah, you know, we owe a big credit to scientists in South Africa in the surveillance systems that they have in place there, because, you know, it is possible that Omicron was circulating but getting not detected. And we are very fortunate that the flag was raised by those surveillance systems, right? And in general, you know, as a virus replicates, as it transmits to other people, it has the opportunity to have mutations be acquired. And so, you know, we've had a number of variants, right, leading up to this point, and Omicron honestly won't likely be the last variant that we have to deal with. You know, I think slowing transmission is always a good goal, you know, even once we're vaccinated, because that means that there's less opportunity for these variants and these mutations to take place that could, you know, have make it complicated to continue to control this outbreak or this pandemic.
Dennis, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Amanda, I know there's a lot we still don't know or are still working on with Omicron. I made a statement earlier. It looks like it's more infectious than previous variants. Is that right?
I think there's, yeah, a consensus that, you know, I think from December or from the past week, you know, nationally, we've seen a really steep increase in the proportion of viruses that are sequenced that are Omicron. We are watching in the UK as the epidemic curve and just the number of daily cases is soaring to new levels not seen in previous parts of the pandemic in that area. So there's no question that this is a highly transmissible variant.
How about the severity and how damaging it is? I know that it looks like it's still an open question. What do we know so far?
Yeah, you know, I think we're just less than a month, really, since Omicron became on the radar, right? So we're still watching. And I think there are some indications that it may be less severe. However, I think we're still trying to take in the context in which we're seeing these outbreaks and to understand, are we seeing less severity because there's a large proportion of the population that is either immune or vaccinated? How is this variant going to act in populations that don't have any immune protection, right? And so we're still watching. We're kind of like trying to see what's happening in the UK. I think the important thing to remember is that, you know, even just by law of averages, some proportion of people will still have severe outcomes from Omicron. And so, you know, even a small proportion of a very large number, for instance, the 40% of people in Wisconsin that are not vaccinated yet, could really tax our health, you know, care systems. And we saw that happen with Delta. Just the sheer number of cases resulted in more hospitalizations and deaths and severe disease because proportionally that's what happens.
Talking to Amanda Simonek, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee, founding member of the COVID info website Dear Pandemic, looking at the latest news about the Omicron variant, what we need to do over the holidays. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or your experiences, if you or someone you know has had this new variant, if you work in a healthcare setting, love to hear what you're seeing. 800-642-1234 is the number. Amanda, what do we know about how Omicron is interacting with various levels of vaccination?
Yeah, I mean, so this was a concern because of the number of mutations on the spike protein, which is what the virus uses to enter our cells. There was concern that vaccines were going to be less effective. And some lab studies have shown that with two doses, the level of neutralizing antibodies, which are the antibodies that attach to that spike protein and basically block it from entering our cells, that those the number or the level of those antibodies is decreased. And, you know, on one hand, you know, we have also seen that with a booster dose of both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine, that those antibody levels are increased by 25-fold for Pfizer and 37-fold for the Moderna vaccine. So, you know, there is some potential with a booster to offset that decrease in the neutralizing activity of those antibodies, which is great news. The other piece that we're seeing is that other aspects of our immune response, so T cells, which find infected cells and destroy them, which play a huge role in preventing severe disease once you do become infected, that aspect of our immune system really doesn't seem to be as impaired against the Omicron variant, which is really good news, right? This means that getting vaccinated, getting boosted is really going to still have an impact on reducing your risk of getting infected in the first place. We haven't had a situation where we have total immune evasion, where our vaccines are completely ineffective. And then if you, you know, even if you do get infected, being vaccinated and getting boosted is going to prevent you from having severe disease.
And just to make it simple here, it seemed like with Delta, even if vaccines weren't as effective, the math was still really simple. You were at much higher risk if you were unvaccinated. The more vaccinated you were, the lower your risk. That still seems to be true with Omicron?
It is, especially if you're boosted.
We're talking to UW-Milwaukee epidemiologist Amanda Simonek about the Omicron surge. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How are you feeling after almost 2 years of this pandemic in the U.S.? Healthcare workers in particular love to hear from you. Are you glad to hear that the Biden administration is sending some federal reinforcements to at least a handful of hospitals, including one in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with UW-Milwaukee epidemiologist Amanda Simonek about the Omicron variant and the holidays. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Samantha is with us in Knapp. Samantha, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Samantha?
Just wondering your guest's view on empathy fatigue at this point in the pandemic. It kind of feels like we're living in one giant Darwin Award, honestly, and it's very hard to care at a certain point. And I'm sure as a medical professional, she would be experiencing that even more than the rest of us. And how do we cope with that? I'll take my answer off the air.
Samantha, I just want to be clear. Empathy for people who have COVID or different vaccination statuses, what did you have in mind there in particular?
Empathy for the unvaccinated who are getting sick and dying at this point. Just how to keep caring when people continue to let this rage and they could be doing something about it. How do we keep caring?
Samantha, thanks for the call. Amanda, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I hear you. It's 20 months into this pandemic, and you know, I think my colleagues and I at the social media-based science communication campaign that I help operate, Dear Pandemic, you know, what we've really learned is that there's always space for, you know, one conversation to make a difference in, you know, people having questions and getting those questions answered. We welcome people to submit questions to our website, dearpandemic.org. You know, and I think that there's always room to move the needle on vaccination, and it's hard, you know, and I think we have to find those ways that we, you know, if we've been vaccinated and we can get together with other vaccinated people, that we sort of resume some of those social benefits for ourselves that help us rebuild our stamina and help us sort of get rejuvenated, you know, because we still do have, you know, it's a long road. I think it's hard when we don't know how much longer we have to sort of endure all this. And so those feelings of sort of fatigue are real, and I hear you on it.
Samantha, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Devin on the line in Duluth. Devin, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to ask about?
So just thinking about this Omicron, and it seems on a worldwide reporting outside of Great Britain anyways, that the symptoms seem to be more mild. I'm sure more studies will have to be done and all of that, but initially here it seems to be more mild than Delta, and it seems to spread quite a bit faster. That seems to be true no matter what right now. At what point do we just say, just pull the Band-Aid off and just let it happen? And I understand that the idea, especially in the beginning, was to flatten the curve, prevent an overload on the hospital system. But what exactly needs to happen with severe illness in the hospital setting that going to the hospital actually makes sense? Is there a way to have in-home care if they're just on fluids? When numbers start coming out of how many deaths of despair how many people are dying because they're not going to the hospital. You know, over in Africa, they talked about there was potentially an extra 60,000 people that died of malaria because they didn't go get seek treatment because of COVID. I feel like we're just prolonging this and long-term making this worse. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, seems like vaccinations actually aren't slowing this down. You look at Israel, Canada, Gibraltar, high vaccination rates, huge reinfection rates as time has borne on. Is there a different way that we can just approach this?
Amanda, thanks for the call. So first of all, his idea of pull the Band-Aid off and I guess just let everybody get infected with Omicron.
I mean, I think the first thing I'd say is that our healthcare professionals that are in hospitals right now really struggling to provide care, to have space for patients, not just COVID patients, but because of how taxed our healthcare facilities are right now and our healthcare staff is right now, you know, we're not providing some preventive care and other services for other health conditions, right? So I don't think any healthcare worker today would say, yes, let's just rip the Band-Aid off because they're already really struggling. And so I don't think that's a tenable solution. And we know that even with a variant, you know, if it is less severe, like I said, a small proportion of a very large number still makes a large number of people that end up with severe disease and hospitalization. So, you know, I think we really would run the risk of just completely having a collapse of our healthcare system if we were to do that right now, and that's not a tenable solution.
And Devin also mentioned reinfections, I think hinting that maybe that meant that vaccinations weren't all that effective. What are you watching for when you look at reinfection or so-called breakthrough cases and vaccines?
Yeah. I mean, certainly breakthrough infections are happening in those that have received two doses and even those that have been boosted. You know, we hear a lot in the news, those high-profile celebrity people and other politicians that get breakthrough cases. You know, we're not hearing all the same news stories about all the people that aren't having breakthrough cases, right? And, you know, the larger the proportion of the population that's vaccinated, the less people there are that are just susceptible to becoming infected. And so that is still a goal, you know, still increasing vaccination is a goal. And, you know, and certainly we've seen that with the boosters, we get some improved immune protection against even this Omicron variant. And so everyone who is 16 and older is current, and it's been more than 6 months since they got the Pfizer vaccine, can go get boosted. Anyone who's 18 and older and it's been more than 6 months can get either the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine. And that is, you know, what's recommended, that people should go get it right now. It's no longer that you may or, you know, you could consider it, but it's highly recommended to go get it. And so I encourage, you know, our uptake of boosters is still quite low nationally and in the state of Wisconsin. So get your first dose, your second dose, and then if you're already been vaccinated and it's been more than 6 months and you're eligible, get your booster dose. That's our best bet right now for easing this surge in the next, you know, coming 6 to 8 weeks that we're currently facing likely because of Omicron.
Talking to Amanda Simonek, UW-Milwaukee epidemiologist, about the latest on COVID-19 and the Omicron variant. A couple points I want to get to before we run out of time. Amanda, I've seen people making the case like, hey, if you're still wearing cloth masks, it's time to up your mask game when you're in public places, especially with lots of other humans. So what are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. So this week, one of my dear pandemic colleagues made a sort of, you know, cheeky post like, hey, weren't we cute in May 2020 in our cloth masks? Because we had a post back then of a picture of about 10 of us wearing our cloth masks. And, you know, the fact is that was necessary a year and a half ago. We didn't have enough protective equipment for our healthcare staff. We didn't have the ability to go online and order a high filtration mask, but that's not the case now. And so, you know, the recommendation, especially with highly transmissible variant, is that you do improve your mask. So if you go to dearpandemic.org, you can search our post, you can type in masks. And a couple days ago, we had a post up that has a bunch of links to very highly recommended mask sites where you can order masks. you know, if that is cost prohibitive for you, another good option for improving both fit and filtration, which is really what you want to maximize with a face mask, is to just take a surgical mask that you can pretty much get a box of in any pharmacy now, and then wear a cloth mask over that. So in that way, you get the filtration power of a surgical mask, but you get a snugger fit against your face by having the cloth mask worn over it. And those are, you know, what you want. You want fit and filtration, because masks do two things. They keep your germs with you. If you have a tightly fitting mask, you're not expelling your, you know, potential, the virus before you realize you have it when you're out at the grocery store or, you know, in other public places. And then a well-fitting high filtration mask will protect you from breathing in the air around you where the virus might have been expelled. And, you know, really stopping that source control, stopping you and other people stopping themselves from expelling the virus into the air is what makes, you know, masks highly effective, is if we all do that in public spaces, there's less virus just floating around to be inhaled.
And just our last half minute, we see a federal approval of a Pfizer viral treatment pill for COVID-19 should hit the streets in a month or two, I think. Are you hopeful that there are going to be that and more tools in the months to come?
I am hopeful. You know, any new development, whether it's a treatment, you know, whether it's, you know, a way that we can test more quickly, identify cases, those are always moments of hope. And so, yes, in addition to wanting people to get vaccinated to prevent getting infected or developing severe disease in the first place, new options for treatments that, should you be infected, help you know, improve the outcomes of those individuals, that's always good news too.
Amanda, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's Amanda Simonek, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee and a founding member of the COVID information website called Dear Pandemic.